politics as unusual. I never wanted to be president. It never crossed my mind. I was born during the Truman administration, but Eisenhower is the first president that I really remember. And the sum total of those memories is that he was a World War II hero and he was married to a pleasant enough looking but hardly beautiful woman named Mamie. The last is notable because she was the only Mamie I'd ever heard of, with the exception of blonde bombshell Mamie Van Doren, and of the two, never once did I pleasure myself in those formative years while thinking of anyone with the name Eisenhower. Since then, I have lived through everyone, from Kennedy to two Bushes. In that time, I had great hopes with Kennedy, and a little hope with Carter, and absolutely no faith in Johnson or Nixon. After all, the last two didn't seem to mind sending a lot of kids in my generation to die in a little pissant country in Southeast Asia that nobody else in the world seemed to care about. Call me crazy, but I like seeing 19-year-olds alive and stoned in college. It's a little quirk of mine. Hell, Nixon even brought us Watergate, the biggest scandal ever to rock Washington. But I can't get into that right now because my nurse is on a break and I don't know where she keeps my shots. Better to be safe than sorry. And as for the esteemed Gerald Ford, well, he hardly registered on the political landscape, except for all the times he actually fell face first into it. There was also, of course, Reagan and Clinton. But by then, I was so disillusioned I couldn't see straight. Given that political history, it is no wonder that I don't really like most politicians, on any level, local, state, or federal. They all pretty much suck, especially those politicians who win. At least the losers offer what-if hope for years. So in most cases, it's hard to keep hating them. But I do what I can. Still, there was some rhyme and reason to the political process almost all the way through the Reagan administration. You could almost understand the political climate right up until then. Sure, it may have been fucked, but there still seemed to be a perverted logic to it all. Sometime in the late 80s, however, all hell seemed to break loose in Washington, and for that matter, everywhere else in the country. Within the course of a decade, crazy people just seem to come out of nowhere. Take, for instance, H. Ross Perot. In the 90s, it finally dawned on America that with the state of the Republican and Democratic parties, we could probably use a viable third-party candidate. And to the rescue rode Texas billionaire H. Ross Perot. He probably would have been a great leader if we were looking for bats in a belfry. But the guy managed to make a lot of noise in this country, and it still galls me that so many people listened to him. As far as I'm concerned, you should never listen to a guy who looks like the scary banjo kid from Deliverance, all grown up. But Perot wasn't the only crazy third-party politician to find his way onto a ballot. There was also Jesse Ventura. If nothing else, his election to governor proved that the citizens of Minnesota are not social drinkers. They are obviously hopeless alcoholics. But that event also points out what's great about our brand of democracy. Anyone can be elected to any office. On the flip side, it also highlights what stinks about our democracy. Anyone can be elected to any office. Now, don't get me wrong. I really do believe that that kind of opportunity is awesome. But let's be honest. He was a professional fucking wrestler right before he became governor. And I think that between wrestler and governor, he really should have had to do something else. Like maybe he should have been a referee. At least that would have prepared him for budget negotiations.